Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Let's open our scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. We are going to turn to several passages throughout the message today. We'll start in a moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Can you think of anything more miserable than to have lived your entire life on this globe and not have impacted a thing? No person is any better because of your life. No town or city is any improved because of you. No organization, no school, no church are any greater because of your existence. Most people want to leave their mark in life. Most people want to be some sort of a difference maker, where they make a difference in life. Millennials, especially, are said to want to be involved in a cause, to do something productive with their lives. Even secular humanists who have rejected God, who have no place for God in their way of thinking, though they have different ways of responding to that, several of them see then their chief good in life as making the world a better place, helping people, doing good things. There's something in most of us that says that we desperately want to leave a mark. We want to impact the world. We want to influence people. We want to make a difference. And there's some significance to life. There's some meaning and purpose to life in influencing others. And as Christians, we know that more exists than simply making the world a better place. We want to impact people. So I wonder today, as we begin our message here, I wonder if in you, you have any craving to have an influence upon this world today. I wonder if there's something in you where you say, I just crave to have an impact upon people in my life. Is it possible that you would say, in my heart and in my life, I want to have an impact on people so that they will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and spend eternity with God forever in heaven? I want to have an impact upon people like that. Do you have in your mind that you believe some things about God, you believe some things about the Bible, and you're so passionate about those things that you want to impact other people with your beliefs? You want to influence other people because you are convinced that you have the truth. And you want to help other people believe what you believe. Do you desire to influence people with your beliefs? Do you desire for people to be closer to God because of your life? That you would help them to take another step closer to God from whatever point they are because of you? Do you crave to make a difference? Do you crave to impact people with your life? Listen, I want to be different with my life. I want to make a difference with people. I want to be a pastor because I want to make an impact. I don't want to just bide time. I don't just want to ride along and go with the flow and stuff like that here. I want to advance. I want to go forward. I want something to be accomplished. I want to be an influence. And here in these days, we are studying our second core value that's over here on the wall, a Christian that builds something. We believe that a disciple of Jesus Christ, a committed follower of Jesus Christ, is not content not to make an impact. They want to build other people. And that idea of building other people could be described as leadership. Leading other people to a closer walk in Jesus Christ. Servant leadership. So as we're thinking about it, we've been challenged with different aspects of leadership. We've been challenged that, hey, listen, we need to get out and we need to lead. We've been challenged about leading from our convictions and leading from our character. And last time, leading by serving. And today I want to challenge you with this simple statement that we must lead by influence. We must lead by influencing other people with our lives. Do you want to influence other people? Do you want to impact them with your life? Lead by influencing. In fact, as many people define leadership, they will simply say, leadership is influence. And we want to challenge people, hey, listen, if you want to live out that core value, if you want to live it out and be a leader, you're going to be a person who is thinking, how can I influence people for Jesus Christ? How can I influence them to trust Christ as Savior? How can I influence them to have a closer walk with Jesus Christ? How can I make that impact upon their hearts and upon their lives? The word influence means to be a compelling force, to sway someone or something, to move them, to produce an effect on somebody. Is your life producing any effects on anybody else? Is your life swaying anybody at all closer to Jesus Christ? Leadership is influence. And listen, today I want to challenge you to walk away this morning saying this: leadership is influence. This principle is brought out in the scripture. And I want to be somebody who influences other people for Jesus Christ. I want to make an impact upon people for Jesus Christ. Her name is Donna. Donna is a lady, and Donna, she doesn't live in this spectacular mansion. It's a nice home, but it's not a sprawling estate. Donna has never, to my knowledge, been the speaker at a ladies' conference. But Donna is a lady who has made a great impact upon people. Donna has raised a family, and many of her kids and grandkids and on down the generations have gone out to serve God in ministry. Many of her other kids are serving God faithfully in their churches. Her kids and grandkids are serving God faithfully in churches and impacting people's lives across the United States wherever they live. Donna also has an incredible passion for kids. She loves to see kids to come to church. And so quite often on a Saturday, she'll go out and she'll begin to invite kids to come to church and connect with those kids. And then the next day on Sunday, her and her husband will go out and pick those kids up to church for church and bring them to church where they go to their various Sunday school classes and hear the word of God preached. And then after church is over, before they eat lunch, they take those kids back home and help them to get safely traveled back home. And week in and week out, Donna has impacted kids in that regard. It's amazing to think, probably over the decades that she's served God, how many hundreds, if not into the thousands, of kids that she has influenced for Jesus Christ and impacted for Jesus Christ. One lady and her husband impacting so many people, having such an influence. Do you crave to have that kind of influence? Do you crave to be a leader that impacts people for Jesus Christ? I want to challenge you with that truth. Now, as I came to the scriptures here this week and studying for this message, the common thought is leadership is influence. And I asked myself, well, does the Bible say that? Does the Bible teach that leadership is influence? And so I thought, and I'm not going to talk long about this, but I thought about the different places where God talks about leadership, the different realms of leadership. And I thought, well, I wonder if in each one of those, God communicates to us this leader is influencing people. So I thought, first of all, about the husband. Ephesians 5 and verse number 25. The husband's supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church, that he might sanctify it. And I thought, well, there in that realm, here the husband is to be the leader, just like Christ is supposed to be the loving leader, is the loving leader, so that he could sanctify the church. And I thought, well, the husband is supposed to lovingly lead his wife and help her to be sanctified, to grow in her walk with God. That's influence. Well, okay, in the realm of the marriage, leadership is influence, okay? Well, then I thought about in the realm of parenting, and I thought about Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, that fathers are supposed to not provoke their children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I thought, well, there's the father. He's certainly supposed to be the leader, and that's influence, right? Bringing them up in the nurture of the and admonition of the Lord. There, in the realm of parenting, leadership is influence. So I thought about those two aspects, and then I thought also about Romans chapter number 13 and government. And I thought about the rulers and the leaders of government. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13 that rulers are supposed to be a terror to those that do evil. That's influence. They're supposed to influence you that if you disobey the law, consequences coming. And that's supposed to influence you not to disobey the law. And so I thought from scripture there again, we see that example. Another realm of leadership, we look at the local church. And we look at the fact that God puts pastors in local churches. And how does God describe what the leadership of a pastor is supposed to be like? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 3, he's supposed to be an elder. He's supposed to take oversight. He's supposed to feed the flock of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And all of these different descriptions of the pastor, so many of them, describe the influence. Whether he's overseeing, whether he is feeding people, leadership is influence. From the marriage to the parenting, to the pastoring, to the leaders in government, every one of those brings out the fact that truly God does expect leaders to have influence. So listen, if I'm going to challenge you that a follower of Christ builds people, he leads people, then I want to challenge you with this truth that you ought to be influencing people for Jesus Christ. I want you to walk out today saying this: what can I do to be an influence upon people for Jesus Christ? You might be 8, you might be 10, you might be 50, you might be some other age here, but what can you do to influence people for Jesus Christ, for the cause of Christ? If you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to influence people. Now today, we think about that truth. We've got that established in our mind. But sometimes if we say, okay, I'm going to be an influence upon people, we ask ourselves, how do you do it? How is it possible for little old me to have an influence upon other people? And so with the rest of the time that we have, I want to give you 5 Bible ways as to how you can influence other people. The scriptures give us at least 5 different ways that you can make an impact upon the world around you. And we're going to consider those today. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us as we think about this matter of influence, that, Lord, we would be inspired to be influential people upon the lives of others. And, Lord, that we would know how and do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first one's found here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want you to consider this truth. The first way you influence people is by being. By your very own being, your own person. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, Paul is talking here and he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." The apostle Paul was trying to influence people to follow Jesus Christ. And he's saying, in my own life, I so follow Jesus Christ that you can follow my own being, my own character, my own person. And you know what? This was a big deal to Paul. If you study this out in the scripture, it was a big deal. In another occasion, in Acts chapter number 24, I believe it is verse number 16. Acts 24 verse 16, he's talking to some lost people and he says, "I have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." In other words, his very character and his very being was such that it did not deter from drawing people to follow after Jesus Christ. His own being, who he was on the inside, was something that should influence people for Jesus Christ. That's an important thing. The scripture says you're supposed to be salt of the earth. That's influence. From your being. You're supposed to be the light of the world. By how you live your life, your being, your character is supposed to be light to other people. That's influence. The scriptures that Paul wrote refer to this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 6, as well as Titus 1 and verse 5. The pastors are supposed to be elders. And that means that they're supposed to have walked with God and have a maturity in their relationship with God, because their relationship with God has an impact upon everybody else's relationship with God. You lead from your person. You lead from your character. You lead from your being. And all sorts of scriptures bring that out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." All those scriptures in the Bible about friendship. "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn of his ways. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Proverbs 13:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Why? Because you influence people from your being, from your character, from who you are. And so if I am a certain way, I influence people to be like me. If you want to have an influence upon people, the very first thing that you should work on is you. Your character, your relationship with God, your attitude, your spirit, your diligence, your personality, all these things. You should be working on you. If you want to be a difference maker in this world focus on you, first of all. Not in a selfish way. I think you understand that. But you focus on your own character. Be the person that God wants you to be. Because the fact of the matter is, we lead by example. You will lead other people to become just like who you are. So if you want to have an influence on your life, make sure that who you are is the right person that it ought to be. Listen, that's why in our church we have what's called Christian leadership standards. And if a person is going to be involved in leadership here in our church, there's a little bit higher standard because we understand that we lead people to be like who we are. And so if we have people in positions of leadership, they are going to lead people to become like them. There are different things that are there in those leadership things, but certainly we think about this. For example, if someone is in leadership, they are someone who wants to be in church, who wants to be there when the doors are open, who wants to attend here. And if they're a leader, they're going to want to be present when we have church services. We know that people in church will become like the character of their leaders. And so things like drinking and drugs and gambling and ungodly media, we know can have a devastating effect on lives. And so naturally, we want to keep these things out of the lives of our people, and so we ask our leaders not to have those things. We want our leaders to have properly run homes because they're leading other people with their lives here. Appropriate dress is an important thing. Appropriate attitudes, because attitudes are a contagious sort of thing here. Why? Because people take on the character of their leaders. Listen, the greatest thing that you can do if you want to influence other people is to start by working on your character and me working on my character. Because I'm going to lead you to be like me. You should be like me as I follow Jesus Christ. It is an amazing thing how much churches become like their pastors. I've enjoyed this series tremendously. But let me tell you, it's been a very convicting and sobering series because I have a leadership position here. And so it's very sobering for me to think about this. But if you may be on vacation like we were these last couple weeks looking at, traveling on vacation, we stopped in at a church. And as we're at this church, their pastor is incredibly passionate about missions. He goes on, I think, 2 missions trips a year. He goes on 1 mission trip simply to plan for the next one. So that when he brings a group of people later on that year or the next year, he's already been there. He knows the lay of the land. He's made the connections with the local pastors and all that stuff. And he knows what he's going to do when he brings 10 or 15 or whatever people there on that missions trip. So he probably goes on 2 missions trips every single year. You walk into the church, it's all about missions. Sayings on the wall, maps, graphics, everything. People go on missions trips. Why? Because the pastor is just extremely passionate about missions. That's who he is. Other pastors are givers. They just give and give and give and give, and they're just extremely generous. And many times when you look at their church after a period of time, their church is just, they're incredible givers. Why? Because people take on the character of their leaders. And listen, if you want to have an influence on other people, if you want to shape them with your life, you have to look, first of all, at your own being, at your own character. You influence people by your own being. Will you work on your own character so that you can truly say, follow me as I follow Christ? There's a second one that I want you to see. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 10. You're probably familiar with these verses, but I want you to see a simple, very simple, short truth here on this second point. I want to make a difference with my life. How do I do it? Well, I do it, first of all, by my being, but there's a second way that I do it. Do you know that God is wise enough to put everything in the Christian life that you need? He has designed the Christian life to function in the right sort of way. And he's given you everything that you need for life and for godliness. Everything that you need for success. And so God made Christianity to work a certain way. And he wants you to be influenced by other people, and by godly people, and by God's word. But here's the challenge. In order for you to be influenced by godly people and God's word, here's the problem. You have to be around other people that are godly, who will communicate to you God's word. And so when God designed the Christian life, knowing everything like he does, he designed this really cool thing called ecclesia. It means assembly. We call it church. And see, we don't do church just out of routine. We don't do church, certainly not to get to heaven, but we do church because God designed the Christian life to work in assembly. When we assemble with other people, when we gather together in a local congregation, God made it to be that way. It's an important thing. And so here in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Because we have Jesus Christ and we can go right into the throne of God, we ought to do several things. We ought to, verse 22, draw near. We ought to, verse 23, hold fast the profession of our faith. And verse 24 is the third thing we ought to do. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. He says we ought to be thinking about other people and influencing their lives. We ought to want to do that. We ought to, if we know Jesus Christ, we ought to be eager to be thinking about others and to be provoking them. The word provoke means to stir them up. Get them agitated and excited about loving other people and get them agitated and excited about being involved in good works. And he tells us a key ingredient in that happening, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I'm not here to beat you over the head about church attendance, but here's the second point. We influence people simply by gathering. Simply by gathering. Do you think about church as being an opportunity where you're going to gather together with other people so that you can influence them? Yeah, so you can be influenced. But do you think I'm going to church today so that I can influence other people for Jesus Christ? Do you ever think about it that you're going to influence just by gathering? Just by coming and being with those people? What an awesome and a wonderful thing that is that God has designed. Listen, if you had a little kid who wanted to learn how to play soccer, you would assemble that kid on a soccer team with a soccer coach because you know that it would make him better in soccer to be around other kids who play soccer and a coach that knows about soccer. If you want to influence a bunch of teenagers to know Christ, where do you go? You go to where a bunch of teenagers are assembled, and you hang out, and you go there deliberately to influence them. And listen, if you want to be an influence upon others for Jesus Christ, you go to the gathering, you go to the assembly, you go to the church here. Do you think about gathering on Sunday? Part of my Sunday prayer requests are to remind myself that the Lord's Day, it's a day of worship, and I worship on the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. It's the day that commemorates His resurrection on the Lord's Day and the Lord's way. Do you know what the Lord's way is? I worship the Lord by ministering to other people. That's the way God designed it to be. If you want to worship God, you get involved in serving other people, in ministering to other people on the Lord's Day. Church isn't just something where we're made and our arms twisted to attend. Church is an opportunity so you can come and influence other people for Jesus Christ. People that struggle with addictions, they get together on a regular basis. They meet. Why? Because there's something about the influence of gathering together here. And if I can fundamentally change your view of the church today, I would be eager to do so. That it's not just coming about me, but it's coming and thinking deliberately when I get up every Sunday morning, how can I influence somebody? How can I have a conversation with somebody to help them in their spiritual life? How can I put my hand into theirs and shake their hand and be an encouragement? How can I get involved in some ministry of teaching or serving in the church so that I can influence other people for Jesus Christ? How can I influence them? If you want to influence other people, the Bible says the first way is just by your being. Second of all, the Bible says you influence people by gathering. Do you come every Sunday to influence other people for Jesus Christ? Then let's go to the Old Testament. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 9. We'll see a third way. Will you take a moment and turn there back to the middle of your Bibles? Proverbs chapter number 9. In the middle is Psalms, and hang a right and you come to Proverbs chapter number 9. I'm turning there as well. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 9. We influence by being. We influence by gathering. Number 3, we influence by teaching. By teaching. Proverbs 9 and verse number 9. Give instruction to a wise man. Here's the influence, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. We really do influence people by teaching, by imparting knowledge. There's an element in which knowledge is power. And that's why it's important that we be readers. We readers be readers, first of all, of God's Word, filling our minds with God's Word so that we can teach other people. This is what God's Word says. How many times people don't understand what the Word of God even says, but we lead them, we influence them as we teach them. This is what the Bible says. This is why leaders, if they're going to lead somebody, have to spend some time with doing their homework so they know the facts and they know the figures and they know the costs and they know the personnel that are involved so that they can go in a certain direction, because they have to have that knowledge. Knowledge helps us to influence other people. I think about people who influence my children by giving all sorts of information to them. They've got some incredibly intelligent relatives that can inform them on some different areas, and that knowledge leads my kids in certain areas and directions. You think back to your life. Did you have a teacher growing up that impacted and influenced your life? It may have been that that teacher gave you some formal training. It may be that that teacher inspired you with a love of learning that subject. It may be that that teacher taught you about God. It may be that that teacher just taught you that that teacher loves you like Christ loves you. Teachers have a great deal of influence. That's why senior pastors in large churches are often called pastors of preaching and vision, because preaching and teaching is influence. It influences in that direction. Why have people left Minnesota in an effort to try to join ISIS? Because somehow they were taught something and they responded to that influence. And so I wonder, listen, do you have a belief that you cherish? Do you have a belief about the Word of God? Do you have a passion about God that you would seek to instill into the next generation, into other people? Then teach. Get involved in teaching others, communicating the Word of God to other people. And it might be an official, formal responsibility of teaching, or it may simply be by giving some instruction. Do you crave to help people have a biblical worldview where they can correctly see the world through the lens of Scripture here? Teach. So we can influence people by our being, by gathering, by teaching. Number four, by governing. Let's go to Esther. By governing. Maybe just a few pages. Esther chapter number 9, and we'll be there in just a moment. We influence people as leaders. We started off by talking about Ephesians chapter 5, where the husband is the leader and he is supposed to be influencing that marriage. We talked about Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, where the father is the leader in the home and he's supposed to be influencing his children. We talked about Romans chapter number 13, where the leaders in government are supposed to be influencing their people away from evil works here. Those leaders, those people involved in governing, I'm not talking about the governor of Minnesota specifically, I'm talking about being a leader in general. You influence from that leadership, governing, ruling, leading option and position that you have. We influence others by the rules and the decisions that we make. That's an important thing. I'll read Esther in just a moment here, more at the end of the point. But we saw from those passages of Scripture that we truly influence people through our leadership here. You know, dads, it's an interesting thing to think about that God has put us in that position of leadership. And dads, when we make decisions, our decisions as dads influence our family. When we make a decision that, church is important to us, we say church is going to be a priority in our family, that decision that we make as a leader influences our family. That governing that we do makes a difference here. When a father makes a decision that, hey, we're going to tithe in this home, that choice that he makes, that decision that he makes, influences his family. When a young person makes that decision, according to God's leading, that God wants me to be a missionary to some other country, as he leads out and makes that decision, his leadership is going to influence other people. When a pastor makes different decisions within the scope of his leadership, he influences people. Listen, today maybe God has put you in some different positions of leadership where you have opportunity to make choices. Where you're the one who is going to decide, are we going to go left or are we going to go right? Are we going to do this or are we going to do that? You influence with those choices that you're making. Men, husbands, fathers, people who have other positions of leadership, embrace those things that God has given to you and say, you know what? I'm going to use the opportunity that I have to make that choice. I've been given this opportunity to make the choice between A and B. I'm going to make the choice that influences the most for the cause of Christ. And sometimes we need to realize that God has put us in that position of responsibility to use the values and the decisions and the priorities that we can make because we're that leader in order to influence people for Jesus Christ. You may be put in a position where you get to make the choices. And when you do make choices that will influence people for Jesus Christ. I love Mordecai. Mordecai, of course, ultimately becomes the prime minister of the entire Persian Empire. Haman had been the former prime minister, the second in command. Haman hated the Jews, and so he had it written in the laws that on a certain day, everybody across the empire could slaughter the Jews. It was something that was written down in the laws, and so it couldn't be changed. The new prime minister couldn't change the law, and even the king himself couldn't change the law. But Haman was removed from power, and Mordecai now takes his place as prime minister. Mordecai now comes into this position. He cannot change the law. But what does Mordecai do? How does Mordecai handle it? Esther chapter 9, verse number 3. Esther chapter 9 and verse number 3. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon him. I kind of tend to think that Mordecai steps into this new position of power and he says, you know what, the law is this, that all of you guys can kill the Jews on that specific day. But if you do, you're going to answer to me. I don't know exactly how he said it. I don't know what his tone of voice was. But somehow they knew that Mordecai was the new ruler in town and Mordecai was in charge. And they said, you know what? Even though that's the law of the land, we don't want to mess with Mordecai. The last guy who did end up swinging from a yardarm there, Mr. Haman there. They didn't want to mess with him. And he used his power, he used his position, he used his leadership to influence. And we often rightly talk about Esther having come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and she did. But Mordecai came to the kingdom for such a time as this as well. For just that day, that even though the law couldn't be changed, Mordecai, by his new presence as a leader, influenced people. And on that day, they didn't attack the Jews. Instead, the Jews got a new law so that they could attack their enemies. That's using your position. Using your position to influence people for Jesus Christ. I'm not suggesting telling people, now listen, get saved. All right, I'm not suggesting that, but I hope you understand what I mean here. Use your leadership. Embrace that. When God gives you the opportunity to make a decision in the secular realm, use that opportunity as much as is possible to influence people for Jesus Christ. What an awesome and a wonderful thing. There's one more thing that I want you to see, and let's go to James chapter number 5. James chapter 5 for our final truth here today. Do you crave to make a difference? Do you crave to impact other people? How do I do it? Well, I influence by being, by gathering, by teaching, by governing. And here's the last one. I'm making up an expression, influence by one anothering. One anothering. I'm going to use that expression on purpose here from James chapter 5 and verse number 16. Here he says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The scriptures use the expression one another more than 20 different ways. There are more than 20 different commands in scriptures of different things that I'm supposed to be doing for you and that you as a Christian are supposed to be doing for me. They are one another's. This passage talks about two of them, confessing our faults one to another, praying one for another. And you know what? When you begin to put these different one another's into place in your life, you'll have an impact upon other people. For example, the scripture says, love one another. If you'll love each other, you'll have an influence on people's lives. Do you think that if you pray one for another, that you would have an influence on somebody's life? Sure hope so. Do you think that if you care one for another, and the scripture talks about that, you would influence? Sure. Bear ye one another's burdens is another one. Forgiving one another. You have an influence on someone's life when you forgive other people. 1 Peter 4:10, minister your gifts one to another. 1 Thessalonians 4:10, comfort one another. Colossians 3 and verse number 16, we're supposed to be singing one to another. Galatians 5 and verse number 13, serving one another. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22, we're supposed to run with one another when those people want to serve God with their lives. Listen, if you will just simply be involved in the lives of other people, live out the one another's, care about other people, you will have an opportunity to influence them with your life. It's called building relationships with people. If someone's going to be a leader, they have to have followers. And they're only going to have followers if they have relationships with other people, if they serve other people, if they do the different one another's in other people's lives. Work on those things. Are you involved in living out the one another's of Scripture? Study them out. Get out a concordance and look up those 20 different one another's in Scriptures and begin to living them out. So listen, do you want to make an impact upon your world? Do you want to be an influence? Lead by your being, lead by your gathering, lead by your teaching, lead by your governing, and lead here by one anothering other people. We have a tremendous opportunity to influence other people, and influence is powerful. You know, at times as leaders, we can try to make people do all sorts of things. But if we don't even have influence with them to start with, We're not going to be able to get them to do anything. And we find that if we're a leader and we have no influence upon people's lives, when we are gone, our leadership is gone as well. But if you're a leader that has had an influence upon people's lives, long after you're gone, you will still be leading their lives. That's an important thing for us to consider. Eisenhower, a great leader, said this: leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something that you want done because he wants to do it. In other words, you've so influenced that person that they want to do the very thing that you're hoping them to do. And when people want to do something, boy, they're all about it. They will serve. They will be involved. Listen, when it comes down to leadership, you can lead by intimidation. You know, you're going to intimidate someone. But when you intimidate someone, it's all about me. It's a pride thing. You feel like everybody else is an enemy that you've got to intimidate into alignment. You're out to preserve yourself here, and that's what drives you. But if you lead by influence, you're very secure because you know that your influence cannot be robbed of that person long after you're gone. Whereas an intimidating leader, they have to make sure to intimidate that person enough to do what they want them to do even when they're not around. But influence continues to lead even when I'm not around. If you want to lead instead of by intimidation, by manipulation, you're simply desperate to have a reason for existing. But if you're an influential leader, you say, listen, these are my convictions. This is the mission that I'm going on. And I am desperate to communicate my convictions and my mission to other people. I want to influence them with that goal. If you want to lead by domination, you live in fear because you know that when your presence is gone, your control is gone. But if you lead by influence, you know that your leadership will continue long after you are gone. Someone said this: if your presence doesn't make a difference, your absence won't make a difference. In other words, if you don't have any influence when you're there, you won't have any influence when you're gone as well. If you lead like a dictator, you're going to constantly be pushing people. The story is told about Eisenhower speaking with someone about leadership, and they were trying to learn and understand leadership. And so he had them lay out a piece of string across the desk there. And he said to the person there across the desk from him, he said, push that string over to me. So the man grabbed the end of the string and he began to try to push that string across the desk. And as you can imagine, immediately the string became all kinked up. How do you push a string, a piece of yarn, across the desk? It's impossible. And when the man realized it wouldn't work, Eisenhower reached out and grabbed the front of the string and merely pulled it towards him, and the string immediately followed. When we're a dictator and we're pushing people, it builds in resistance. People balk at it. But when we're a leader with influence and we're pulling people to where we are going, people will naturally want to follow. Listen, you can have leadership with people even if you don't have authority, even if you don't have a position, if you're a person of influence. But if in fact you're a leader and you don't have influence, if you merely have a position, then you're not a leader anyway. So I wonder today, do you want to be a leader who has influence? If we are going to be Christians that build something, there ought to be within us a craving to influence other people. I want to make a difference. How do I do it? By working, first of all, on my being, my character, by gathering with God's people, by teaching other people, by using the decisions that I have as a leader to influence other people, by one anothering them. And so I wonder today, has God challenged you to influence other people? You say, well, listen, I'm not much of an influence. I'm not much of a leader. I'm kind of insignificant. Someone said this, if you think you are too small to have an impact, try going to bed with a mosquito. You can have an impact even though you're small, even though you may feel that you are insignificant. Some people arrive and make such a beautiful impact on our lives that you can barely remember what life was like without them. Will you have that kind of impact on others? Do you desire to have an eternal impact by influencing the lives of other people? If you're going to be a leader, you must lead by influence.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.